Welcome to the Phantom Effect Bonus Level.
With your hosts, Mark the Bushido Geek Hallberg and Devin Dreamy Kong McVitie.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another special live edition of the Phantom Effect podcast. As always, I am your host to all things Phantom, your guide to the mystical, your guide to the different effects that Phantoms have on us, the Bushido Geek. Devin has bailed yet again on yet another recording. Some excuse about I got married, so now I'm on my honeymoon, or I don't know, whatever random Phantom bullcrap he wants to throw out there. But we're here live doing a cool Star Wars special. So if you're listening to this on May 4th, congratulations. You're our first bonus episode of the month. But we wanted to do this. I wanted to do it a little bit differently on the 3rd. Get it, do it live, do it fun. I mean, it's Star Wars Day tomorrow. Might as well talk some Star Wars. But as you guys know, I'm never alone. I am, but that's an internal thing. But I'm joined by some previous past guests, one you might recognize from a certain episode that just aired last week, like not even 3 days ago, but Sam the Man is back again, and then another guy named Mark.
I just keep showing up. That you can't get rid of me.
Apparently not. And
Do you want to be the new Devin? Like,
I mean, it's not the worst idea.
I also don't think it's the worst idea.
It's not. See, even Devin's mom is supporting us before Devin is.
She's talking to me. I'm Mark.
Sure.
Oh, wait. Before we get started, do we want to show off?
So if you're watching this, if you're listening to this live, I'll try to describe. If you're listening to this tomorrow, I'll try to describe it if you're listening to this down the road. But each of us are wearing different Star Wars shirts to celebrate Star Wars Day. Mark went with a plain, just the good old classic Star Wars logo.
Yep.
Sam is, it's a trap. Which I'm hoping you guys are on it. Admiral Admarker. And mine's kind of a hodgepodge of like Darth Vader, Boba Fett, and then the Luke and Leia and Chewbacca are all on the bottom. And it's one of my three Star Wars shirts. I couldn't really decide which one I wanted to go with, so I went with this one. I guess a good way to just jump right into it is, I mean, obviously Star Wars Day is tomorrow. How is everybody planning to celebrate Star Wars Day?
To wake up at 4 a.m. to go to my job.
Such a good way to celebrate. Mm-hmm.
I will also be at work, but I might throw on A New Hope in the background.
Ooh. Yes, I will also be working. I'll probably try to like play something. I might even just go simple, just because it's like if the movies are playing, I might be too focused. So I might just like throw on Clone Wars or something, just kind of like having on in the background, because I love Clone Wars, but I've already seen each of the episodes a couple times now, so I can kind of just like have it going and have it playing a little bit.
I would like to point out, like, you know, tomorrow is May the 4th, and then obviously we have Revenge of the 5th, but we can celebrate Star Wars all month because this is the May.
Yes, thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for that.
My point is that you don't have to have a specific day to celebrate Star Wars.
I celebrate Star Wars every day of my life, just existing.
Yeah. Well, that's like
The
thing is, like, what's the name of, you know, you have Star Trek fans that are called Trekkies or Trekkers, or you've got Doctor Who fans that are Whovians. So what do you call fans of Star Wars? I go with the human race.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can get such broad spectrums. I mean, like, I have people that I know that are generally, like, not huge, like, Star Wars people or whatever. And then you got, like, our friend Dennis, who's, like, so far on the side of being a fan of Star Wars that it's, like, you can't even convince him that they've ever done anything bad.
That's true. Which, you should have had him on here. He would have been able to talk for... You would have carried this podcast.
Days.
We would not like have just talked.
No, yeah. We could have been like, Dennis, Star Wars, go.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's literally all we would have
done. Then I would have just had a cut out of myself that I like put here and then just sneak out.
I never would have done anything. I would have just been like, all right, well, this is no longer my podcast or anything like this at all. But no, I mean, it's interesting though. I mean, because you're right. It's because May the 4th kind of was like its own thing for a while. And then everyone was like, wait a minute. The 5th, that sounds like something.
Sounds like Sith.
Wait, what can we do with this? And then you have another day of Star Wars that you could still watch. But I think that might be a day where I just kind of read some Darth Vader comics or something and kind of get my Sith on. As, I mean, hashtag the Sith did nothing wrong. Just making sure that I throw that out there again.
Absolutely. No, I'll probably watch Runs of the Sith tomorrow after work. I only work till like noon. So I've got the rest of the day to
there you go.
Yeah,
just catch up on my High Republic Star Wars that I'm collecting, and I just have yet to open. I opened the first one of each, and then I've got like four of the issues, and I just haven't had the time. So maybe I'll do that tomorrow.
There you go.
See, there's always so much to do though in with Star Wars, which is I feel like just a, such kind of like a fun area, because I mean there's such. Again, like this could go for hours and hours. Obviously, it's not going to, because there's just so much of a rich tapestry to dive into. So, I mean, Mark knows my thoughts on this, but I'll go into this after. But like, everyone has one aspect of Star Wars that failed them in some way. Like, it can even be as far back as like the old Star Wars Christmas special. Quick plug to a past episode if you want to talk to the main writer. If you want to listen to an episode where we interviewed the main writer of that movie, Bruce Vilanch, you can go back and play that episode and hear what it was like to make that movie. But for each of you, like what's been like the failure for Star Wars? Because obviously we're going to get into all the good stuff we like, but let's start with some failure stuff here.
You want to go first, Sam?
Yeah, when Kylo Ren fucking died.
Hey, we are, Robert.
That was mine.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for joining, man.
My pleasure.
But Sam, yeah. So when he died, that was the moment.
So stupid. Rey should have just stayed dead. She didn't need to
tell us how you really feel.
I thought that would have been nice because like, having the actual like main character of the movie die and stay dead. That's not something that happens. There's always some weird thing that brings him back. And here was some weird thing. I had to lose Ben. I'm just
you're going off the assumption that J.J. Abrams can make an original plot line.
That's also true.
Also yeah, a fair point. So what about you, Mark? What is it?
Hang on. I got a character here.
Oh no.
I don't like sand. No, but I didn't, you know, I would say like as a kid, I was like, even when those prequels were coming out, I wasn't super critical. I mean, I was only like 10 when Phantom Menace came out. So I didn't become really critical of it until I got a little older. So even Attack of the Clones was the first movie where I just remember leaving the theater and not feeling fulfilled. Like, I was just like, I just feel like I didn't get what I wanted out of that. Yeah. And then
you're not the only one.
You know, as you get older, you start to understand why you feel the way you do about things. And it's like, oh, I didn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So Robert, to get you quickly up speed here. We're gonna be going into some of the highlights of stuff, but we're starting off with talking about the moment where kind of the franchise failed us a little bit. Like what was kind of like your down moment? Where you kind of like lost a little bit of faith in the universe?
Well, I guess the Phantom Menace, I'd probably easily say that, but I guess in my younger years, because I actually did see the films in their original versions theatrically, 77, 80, and 83, I guess I had those pangs that come with childhood when you find Han Solo was not going to be at the end of Empire. And but I guess I kind of revise that because now I see that Empire is the strongest of the films. But I guess you can see signs of that in retrospect with Jedi, because I know that I got a kick out of it. I saw it a few times, but I guess in retrospect we would say, oh, it's teddy bears and it's the Muppets in Jabba's palace. But I think the Phantom Menace was a bit of a downer for me because maybe I had these preconceived notions and the highest of expectations, because I was thinking, hey, a Star Wars film, and again, And I thought that with all they'd done with special effects and what have you, this was going to be slam bang. And I realized that because I knew who Liam Neeson was and most of the other cast, and I thought back then I didn't know of Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher or Alec Guinness. But I thought for the people who I have such high regard for, they didn't seem like they were doing much with a script, which was by George Lucas, who actually seemed to give life to what Harrison, Mark, and Carrie, and Peter, and Sir Alec said all those years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, different moments where I kind of was like, I don't understand what's going on here, but to probably keep it to what I've said before, so I'll keep myself honest, is the new trilogy to me is what just destroyed just so much of what had been built up. Because I mean, again, won't go into it because it would take way too long, but there's just so many different directions that I just disagree with the way they took the new three movies. So I'm glad now that we're kind of done with the Skywalker stuff and we can kind of like move on to some new stuff. I mean, I don't know exactly what the next main movie will be, but it's, you know, they've said it's probably not going to be related to the Skywalker like storyline so much. Because, I mean, there is a lot to be excited about from the Star Wars universe. I mean, like, even after the new three movies come out, we've had Mandalorian, as obviously came out and had its two seasons and, you know, got renewed for a third. You're going to have the Ahsoka show, which I'm not enthusiastic about, but, I mean, it is something new. You've got the new animated show and Bad Batch. I mean, there's a ton. There's so many different things coming out. Is it for everybody here, is there something that you're specifically looking forward to, like out of what's coming into Star Wars that's probably going to hit, some of that's going to hit this year? Mark, I'll jump to you first. We'll hodgepodge it.
No, Skip, I gotta remember what's coming out.
I just gave you like five.
We did a whole episode on that too.
Probably the Rogue Squadron movie. When I think of like Star Wars video games that I grew up with, the ones that come to mind are Shadows of the Empire and the Rogue Squadron series. So a movie based on that and like really focusing more on like the pilots, I think could make for a really fun movie. And one of the things I really liked about season one of Mandalorian is that it didn't focus on like Force users. Like obviously like Grogu, but like, it wasn't him constantly using Force abilities and lightsaber fights and stuff. All my favorite scenes from the movies are space battles. So seeing a movie that's going to focus on that is really exciting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Robert, what about you? Yeah. With all the new stuff that's going to come out for Star Wars in the next, you know, year or two, is there any particular like movie or show that you're kind of more excited about?
How's that?
I was just saying, you know, we got a lot of new stuff coming out for Star Wars the next year or two with all the different movies and TV shows. Is there any in particular that you're looking forward to at all?
I actually wouldn't mind if they just brought back the episodes 4, 5, and 6, because even maybe it's because of just the more, what's it called, this phrase that says the more things are missed, the more want them. And well, maybe I'm misreading that, but last year, pre-pandemic, no, 2019, when there was a theater showing the original Star Wars, not the 1977 version, I raced out to see that because I guess I just have such a jones for it. And I'm not saying that they should eliminate the third trilogy or the first one, but at times I almost wish that they kind of kept a sense of the middle trilogy still being as much of a thing of importance as the last or the first.
Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Sometimes there's like kind of like that era of a nostalgia that kind of like hits in a little bit, and you try to like juggle it between kind of what you got going on in the new space. Sam, what about you? I mean, I know we talked about it before, but
I'm very excited for the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, mostly because Hayden Christensen's going to be in it. That man is good looking. And Visions, the animated by the Japanese animation studio one, I'm kind of geeked for that.
True. Yeah, that's a good one. I keep forgetting about the Obi-Wan show because it's like it went through so much craziness to even like become a thing.
Well, it was supposed to be a movie, wasn't it?
I thought originally it was supposed to be like a movie, and then it was supposed to be like 8 or 10 episodes, and then it got shortened to like 6, and then it got shortened to like, I can't remember if it's 4 or 6, and then it was, they wrote all the scripts, and then the they hated the script, so they had to rewrite all the scripts, and like then they finally started filming it, like after the most recent like reshoot of all the script rewrites. So nervous about it. I don't know. Honestly, for me, it's probably just because I don't know how the rest of it's gonna go. I'm honestly just excited to see Bad Batch because Clone Wars was like to me the last. I didn't watch too much of Rebels or anything, but Clone Wars to me was a fantastic animated show. So I'm really excited to see if they keep the same sense of what made that show popular with Bad Batch. But I am also probably like tied with the Obi-Wan Kenobi show just because of like what that could bring into like the future of like the different TV shows and the different movies and stuff. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting because that's the thing, though, is because with Star Wars, there's so much a deep fandom behind it that every little minor thing that comes out is just scrutinized and analyzed like just to all bloody hell. And it's because it's just the simplest thing. We're going to jump on it. You know, like, I mean, who knows if like, I mean, cause obviously like there's, you know, Jar Jar and, you know, things in the new trilogy that people didn't like, and that has like deep kind of hate behind it. But that's what makes me nervous about a lot of this stuff too, is like people, like if something good does come out, but it's not up to like what the general fandom of Star Wars thinks is good. Like we could lose out on, I don't know. We could lose out on some stuff. So it's always got to be careful when you have something this deep of a fandom behind it.
Star Wars fans are notoriously easy to please.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. They never have any problems with stuff.
Absolutely not.
No.
I will say that's the thing, is I feel like right now they're going more for like just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. With this many shows that all just seem so, shows and movies that just all seem so different, they're just trying like, hey, let's just see what people like, what people take to, and you know, whatever succeeds, great, we'll keep going. Whatever doesn't, we'll throw out.
Yeah, I feel like that's also part of like what's like, because I mean, again, Disney is just kind of like you said, kind of throwing darts at a dartboard and seeing what shows are going to be good and what shows aren't going to be good. But I mean, it's kind of like we have the success of The Mandalorian is the cause for a lot of that. You know, if that show had bombed, I can't imagine we'd be getting as many of these things.
Oh, I have,
you know, as we are. I'm sure some were planned regardless, but
with if you think about it, like I don't want to put it all on one person, because I know a lot of people work on The Mandalorian, and it obviously is a group effort, but like, the right showrunner can really like make or break a show, because there's plenty of shows that like have like terrible ideas, but they get a good showrunner behind them who can really drive the production and make sure the story is tight and flows well. And then you'll see that same show, everyone loves it, and all the same cast and crew are there, but then the showrunner retires and they bring in someone new, and the show just completely goes downhill.
Yeah.
And I think that Jon Favreau as the showrunner for that was a great choice, because, you know, he did the same thing with Iron Man, because he knows how to like tell a story of a character who is kind of a dick, but still kind of enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. And for those of you that are either you're watching live, or if you're listening to this, whether it's tomorrow or down the road, I'm going to do a quick little cut here. To welcome in a new guest, good buddy of mine, Dave. What's up, man?
You're muted, Dave.
Oh yeah, you are. Well, now you're muted through StreamYard, but you were muted before as well. Yeah. Yeah.
I heard a bit of static.
That might have been Robert, though. Yeah, you're muted right now through StreamYard, because I say okay, I can unmute you, Dave. And okay, hold on, you got to unmute yourself. Dave, there's going to be a button on the bottom that says mute, and it should be like red. OK, Okay, so now you're unmuted.
How are we doing?
There you go.
Hey, look at that. Technology works.
Yeah, we're not. It's not like we're podcasters.
No, not at all. You would think I'd do this for a living.
Yeah. What's up, though, man?
Not much, man. Super glad to be here. Super, super stoked.
Yeah, so I'll kick it up to you. We'll have you answer the first two questions first. So, first, what was the moment so far that Star Wars let you down? What was like that first moment where the franchise let you down? And then what are you most looking forward to that's coming out? So whether it's one of the new shows or one of the new movies or, you know, whatever it might be.
Definitely episode 8 made me lose a lot of pride in the franchise. Just the way that they ended with Luke, and like I'm gonna backtrack a little bit because 7 gave me some kind of hope. And I know you have to kind of rebrand a franchise to make it a little bit more for the newer generations coming on, like they did with 1, 2, and 3 for our generation and so on and so forth. But 8, I felt they just took the complete wrong turn, the wrong way, and it really, really told me that there's darker days ahead. And on the flip side of that, though, I am super looking forward to Fett, man. The Book of Fett. Cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The show's definitely brought it back, and I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing with the show. So that was top notch.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I briefly forgot, but yeah, the Fett show is going to be one hell, because it, again, like Mark, to your point earlier about Mandalorian, at least the first season, for the most part, steering away from the Force users and that aspect of it. The Fett show, is obviously going to be going into like that bounty hunter realm and kind of that pirate aspect, you know, Black Sun. And if you're super into Star Wars, and if you're not, Google what Black Sun is, and it's a pirate organization, Darth Maul thing. And there's a whole different things behind it. But you know, Mark, it's probably a good moment since we're just talking about Fett to share our own story about Boba Fett to Jeremy Bullock. So rest in peace, Jeremy Bullock. Those of you who are listening that don't know, Jeremy Bullock is a famous British actor who is the original actor of Boba Fett in the original trilogy. Like the guy behind the helmet, obviously doesn't really say anything, but that was the original guy who played him. Mark, you want to set the stage?
Yeah, I'll set the scene and then you can tell exactly what happened. So it was Motor City Comic Con in Detroit. I think it was 2014, 2015.
It would have been the first convention we ever did. So yeah. First season of Arrow. So around,
I think it was 2015. Yeah. So about 6 years ago. And we'd never gone to convention together, but we were like, no, let's make it a full weekend. We'll we'll get there, late on Friday, get a hotel down the road. And so we took the day off work on Friday, so we could go to all the panels and stuff, and we saw that Jeremy Bullock was gonna be there. We were so excited. So we got to the panel, we sat in the front row, Jeremy Bullock comes out and he's like, hey, I'm gonna do this little exercise with you, and then Mark can tell you what happens next.
Yeah. So again, so he's talking about like Star Wars and stuff and how he transitioned from doing British theater to movie roles like Star Wars and stuff like that and et cetera. And he says, all right, I'm going to bring 3 people on stage and we're going to do acting exercises. So obviously, you're just kind of excited to be there and hear what it was like to work on the Star Wars movies and everything like that. And so he picks 2 random people at random or whatever. And then he's like, all right, I need a third. And I whisper to Mark, dude, one of us should do it as a joke. Who Mark uses the opportunity to grab my hand and throw it in the air. And remember, we're front row. Great. So he immediately goes, oh yeah, Green Arrow guy. Yeah, that works.
We should clarify that you were cosplaying as the Green Arrow.
Yes, I was cosplaying as Green Arrow. So I'm in full cosplay. I gotta put down my bow and all this other stuff that I'm littered around with. And so Mark's already smiling ear to ear because he knows that I have to get up and a giant
the phone out ready to
yeah, he's already got his phone out. And the video does exist. The video still exists of me doing
it's
this.
It's on your page, I think.
We should have before, yeah. The video does exist. So he has the first people do like random. Yeah, he has the first two people do like random stuff. Like, I don't know. It was one of their big open rooms. I was like, what? Maybe there was like Mark, what, 200 people in there? Maybe.
It was a little less than that. It was probably like 100.
Okay.
There's a lot though. Still,
yeah, like, yeah.
When you're not used to speaking.
It was one of their bigger panel rooms. I just can't remember like which one it was. So he has the first people do like random things, like just say who you are in a loud voice, or like tell the room something about yourself, or whatever. And so I'm like in my head planning like to do something interesting, and Mark whispers to me as I'm waiting. He goes, "Dude, just do the arrow monologue. Like you're grass playing as Green Arrow. You know the monologue by heart. Just do that." I'm like, yeah, it's probably. I was like, oh yeah, it's a good idea. So my turn comes up. I walk up to the front of the panel room, and he goes, he looks at me dead in the eye, and he goes, "All right, Scottish accent." And I immediately froze because I had been rehearsing the monologue in my head for the last 5 minutes. No one else had to do anything like this. And he just goes, "Scottish accent." And I just froze in front of the whole room for like 5 seconds. And then he's like, "Well, hold on. I'll show you how to do a Scottish accent." So he gives me like how to do a Scottish accent. And then I did the arrow monologue in a Scottish accent to Boba Fett. And then forever, like just sat down and like just swore at Mark the rest of the day. So yeah, that's our little fun story about how we met the actor who played Boba Fett, who then just embarrassed me.
Of us with him.
Yes.
Too, like.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do have, I have them on my computer still of us taking a picture with him, because after we got done, he was like, "Hey, that was pretty good." And he was like, "You guys want like a picture or like whatever really quick." And so we ended up taking, which now like, obviously, now that he passed away a couple years ago, we can look at that stuff and be like really, really happy that we were able to like be able to meet him. Because, I mean, again, yes, that story is like super embarrassing and like makes me cringe when I see the video of myself. But again, we'll still hate Mark to this day, but it's a fun story.
I don't think.
Yeah, but the best part is that you got to take the photo with him because you did the monologue.
Right.
I got to take the photo because I threw your hand in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you were still there. Like, the room had cleared out and he took a picture with me and he was like, "Oh, is that your friend?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's the guy who threw my hand up." And he was like, "Oh, we'll bring him in. We'll do one with him too."
Just bring him on over.
Yeah. Like, we'll just bring this guy over too. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, Sam, I'll jump to a different aspect really quick, because obviously you cosplay Star Wars. And for a few people, and you know that I'll be cosplaying Star Wars fairly soon here. A few people. So I plan to do Darth Vader and Palpatine. And then for those of you that are the lesser, if you know this name, I'll be impressed. But Revan is my all-time favorite Sith, and I will be doing a Revan cosplay.
Kotar.
But Sam,
Kotar.
What's it like to like be a fan of like Star Wars, but then also like jump into like the cosplay realm of it?
So currently I haven't been able to take any of these Star Wars costumes that I have to any of the conventions I would love to go to since quarantine. The only one I've worn out is I have Anakin from the Clone Wars TV show. I wore that to go see episode 9. 'Cause that was the only one I had at the time. That's the only one that I've like worn out into a public setting besides going to like parks. I was Kylo Ren at a park once and I got a lot of people hi, like waving at me, yelling at me.
People are fun when you're in cosplay in public.
People are fun. So it's hard to tell how well those costumes go over without being at conventions yet.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be bringing Anakin to, since I have movie version Anakin now. I'll bring that.
Right,
to
yeah.
And Kelly as Obi-Wan, it'll be great.
Yeah, cosplay is always just so fun, especially in Star Wars, because you get to swing around a lightsaber and it's more allowed.
Yeah, and then next fake convention, we'll be doing originals, and I still gotta figure out what I'm gonna be doing with that, because I gotta do Luke and I don't know what to do yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would just suggest getting a bottle of green milk.
Thank you so much.
You know, don't worry, I'll get one.
That's
for
sweet.
You. I'll get one for you. I'll be a friend.
Damn.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
I'm thinking here because I've never done a Star Wars cosplay, but like, there's really only one character that I think I'm suited for in terms of just body type and who I look like, and it's Porkins.
Just build yourself like a little X-wing like car around yourself, yeah, and just exactly. Like, but like. But not like a cool one where like you could sit in and drive it around. Like
no, just like it's just a box.
Yeah, I want you to do like the kid version with like
poorly
like,
drawn crayon.
Yeah, with like overall straps.
I'm having some trouble here.
Just Porkins written backwards on the side.
But I did want to. Well, before we got too far from it, I did. I don't know if this is going to show up, but Mark, I'll send it to you. You can post it on the page later. But it's the picture of us at the convention with Jeremy Bullock, and of course my camera won't focus.
Yeah.
But it's us, a cosplayer as Boba Fett, and Jeremy Bullock.
Yeah, it was a fun time. It was definitely cool meeting him and being able to kind of like share that experience and stuff. But I don't know. Like I said, today was going to be purely kind of random because it's Star Wars and there's just way too much to talk about to even try to do somewhat of a structure, especially just because of how much there is. And so Dave, I'm gonna throw you on the spot because you were the last one here. What about Star Wars like does it for you? Like, I mean, obviously there's a ton, but like just what about Star Wars, man?
Man, when I look at Star Wars, it just takes me to that point where it's like I could still go back and be a child. And like I just remember watching what was it? Return of the Jedi was like the first Star Wars movie I actually watched as a kid. And immediately fell in love with everything. And that was what got me into, like, I'm not the, you know, the quote unquote super geek, but that got me into like the nerd realm, the fandom of just Star Wars. And now that like my kid is all about Chewbacca and like living the Star Wars dream that I was living growing up, it just makes it even that much better for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely see my kids very all over the place. Cause again, part of the problem with being a part of so many fandoms is where do you start and like what path do you try to go down? And so I went down, you know, I won't touch base on it too long because this is a Star Wars topic, but I started with the Lord of the Rings route. Mm. So obviously he knows more about that, but he does like Darth Vader the most only because he's heard me talk about Darth Vader so much. He just figures that's like, well, Dad likes it, so like
obviously it's cool.
That's probably pretty cool.
The dude with emphysema is the way to go.
Yeah, I've told him the smart stuff, you know, like Darth Vader did nothing wrong, rebels are terrorists. Like he's, you know, I'm teaching him the correct way about how to be a fan of Star Wars.
That sounds all right to me.
Yeah, and I got a Darth Vader nightlight over his bed behind me, so I'm doing everything the right way.
Does it do the breathing at night?
No,
that is horrifying.
The humidifier.
I wish it did just for the sole purpose of like,
no, you just in the middle of the night he just wakes up to it going and then a red lightsaber ignites. Like the hallway scene from Rogue One.
Yes.
I wish it's right now. It's if I knew more about like electric, like wiring and all that stuff, like I would take it apart and like have it breathe smoke just for the
I know a guy, Mark. We get this taken care of. I got you, boo boo.
I'll ship it over to you. And we got this.
Very good. Very good. It might take 6-9 years, but I got you.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. He'll hopefully still enjoy it when he's older. But see, it's always funny though because like, there's just so much with Star Wars. Like I played for him episode 4 and he kind of like somewhat paid attention to it. And that's how he knows who like Darth Maul is. Mm. And then I've tried playing like Clone Wars for him and he just like, he likes Yoda and then he just doesn't understand anything else that's happening in the show. And he's just like, whatever. Like this is beyond me.
Stupid dad. I don't like this.
This is beyond me. Like, let's just move on and do other things with our days here. So it's always weird, like when you see like the next generation, because there was such a large gap between like 1, 2, and 3 and 7, 8, and 9, like
massive.
Yeah. Where massive. Now you're getting this weird like generation of fans who like either A, grew up with 7, 8, and 9 or grew up just knowing that those movies just got done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like versus for us where we grew up, you know, like being like, oh, yeah, these movies came out 20 years ago or 20, 30 years ago. And 1, 2, and 3 didn't come out until Mark Wahlberg and Day
Look. Early probably, 2000s?
Yeah.
Early, like, yeah.
Like well into already being a nerd of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, again, I was only like 10 years old, but I remember it was a... Well, first we had the re-releases, the special edition 1997s right, yeah, came out. True. And that was when weird. I actually saw the first, saw A New Hope, was the, my parents took me to see the re-release.
Yeah.
So that was already a big thing. But then I remember when Phantom Menace came out. That was an event. Like,
oh my
God. It was...
Yeah. It was...
It literally took the world by storm. Like, it was all you people were talking about.
Remember the collectible Pepsi cans when that was coming out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
Oh man.
You know, it's one thing that's missing from today is like, and Robert, if you can hear me, I'm going to jump to a question to you in a second, but I feel like that's one thing that is missing from like the new releases of like stuff today. I mean, yeah, Star Wars obviously included is that like those things like the Pepsi cans or like all those things, like even like the original, like some of the original toys that came out, like the stuff that comes out now is just, it's just not the same. There's not as much like there's obviously build up and like hype, but I don't think there's as much like pre-built fan hype as there was like for the previous movies or stuff. Like, I feel like now it's just more like, hey, this big movie is coming out and it's a big budget picture. Like you should see it because it's a big budget, you know, a big money picture, but there's not any like free publicity for it. I mean, there's no like, hey, there's this special edition thing coming out. It's just, hey, here's just another movie and here's a bunch of cheap toys. Like, I don't know. I feel like that magic is kind of like just disappeared a little bit.
There's no tangible aspect to it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, here, take, we want to give you money. We want to watch something, but like just having that, like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's different. And Robert, the question I want to ask you is like, so obviously, like you said, you were there for kind of the original movies, like as they came out. So what's it been like for you, like to see Star Wars go from essentially something that came out where nobody knew what was going to happen to, I mean, obviously the massive cultural phenomenon that it is, you know, today. Can you hear me, Robert?
What's that?
Did you hear me or no? Oh, all right. I was just asking you. So obviously you were there when the movies first came out. What's it been like for you as a fan to see it from when it first debuted, when nobody knew what was it was going to be, to how much of a cultural phenomenon it's become? Oh.
This connection's pretty rough.
Yeah, looks like we're having some audio issues on that part. So we'll jump around a little bit. So taking it from a different standpoint, obviously Star Wars is more than just the movies and the TV show and stuff like that. So do any of you, and I know I do, but do any of you have other aspects of the Star Wars universe that you try to enjoy? Whether it's from like the comic books or the video games, or, you know, is there anything that you guys also have that's kind of like brought you into the universe a little bit?
I mean, as a lifelong gamer, the Star Wars video games have always been great. I remember getting Shadows of the Empire on a Nintendo 64, which has aged like cheese. it has. Play it. It's not. It doesn't play well at all. But I still love it for the nostalgia, and like that opening level of Battle of Hoth was so good that they literally were like, "Hey, let's make a whole game just about ship battles," and that became Rogue Squadron. And I loved playing that. And then as I got older, I played Knights of the Old Republic, which was at the time I didn't play Dungeons and Dragons, so I didn't understand like how the game really worked, but I was like, this is really interesting. And then even now I'm playing Star Wars Squadrons, which is an absolute blast. Although I want to get Mark to start playing that.
I have that game for the VR, and there are days where I put that on and I could play for hours, and there's other days I put that on and I'm like, oh, I'm sick already.
Oh, I just don't have a VR. I just play it on the computer. So.
Eventually, I mean, the game does look really fun. I eventually do want to play it and get into it a little bit. Dave, what about you, man? I know, like, because you got it, like, we've talked about it before, like, you got into a lot of this stuff, like, at different times. So, like, have you found anything else in the Star Wars universe that you kind of, like, have latched onto?
Besides my Star Wars tattoos?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, come on. The things that everyone has, come on.
Nah, man, I'm going to go with Mark, too. It's, like, the gaming for me is what really, like, took a chokehold on me, like, especially Rogue Squadron. That was probably one of my favorite games growing up on the N64, playing that religiously. And then Battlefront 2, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
To me, you can't compare with that. Like, that was that tangible aspect that put me into that world and just made everything. I mean, you know how much of gamers we are and everything we do.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely been different. And Sam, I don't know. I mean, I guess you do some stuff with it, I guess. Like, on
I,
the
like,
side.
Go here.
Yeah, I don't. You really don't go here. Like, this isn't just, really your school. This is
I'm
more
just
like
here you're to like, be a pretty face.
Yeah, you're kind of like
you're,
that.
You're here to be our trek.
Yeah, you're kind of like that weird, like, visiting high school that, like, no one really knows about and is, like, kind of even curious, like, is this an actual high school or, like, did they just, like, find a bunch of people on the street? Uh-huh, like, uh-huh. That's kind of what you do.
Thank you.
But, I mean, I guess you can try to talk about some of the stuff that you like besides the movies, I guess. If you can try to think of something.
Oh, thank you so much.
I try.
So it's not an actual Star Wars like it is, but it wasn't made by them. Like, my favorite thing is I worked overnights during Christmas time, and my favorite thing was to put on like lore videos just on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Talk about other people's, like, other characters' lores, their backstories, how they got to whatever. Like, I found, like, a whole playlist that talked about every known Sith Lord, like, that was ever written about, and I just listened to those. So my favorite thing is to learn about, like, the lore of Star Wars that doesn't pertain to Skywalkers.
Yes, because there's so much that no one even knows about. As a quick side thing before I'll go into some of my stuff here is, if you are curious about what Sam was talking about, there's one particular YouTube person called Gretzky who does what Sam is talking about, where he goes over, like, the lore of, like, different aspects of it, and not just the Force users, you know, like, who was General Grievous before he was General Grievous, you know, like, how did he get
in,
yeah, like, how did he get involved with Count Dooku, you know, what were, you know, like, there's, oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many videos that he goes into, like, even specific ones where, like, why were Droidicas so popular, like, or why did they get discontinued after the war, like, they go into all that different lore of it. And that's some of the stuff that, like, I get really attached to. So obviously I mentioned it earlier, but Revan's my all-time favorite Sith. Revan is from KOTOR and has, like, a couple books that have been written about him, but Revan's not mentioned in anything. He's barely he's a couple comics as kind of like a throw-in, couple images of him, but really nothing much. But if you've played KOTOR, Mark, I know you have, and Sam, I'm pretty sure you have.
I haven't actually played it. I watched gameplay of it.
Okay, it's an amazing game.
Yeah,
Dave, it's the best way I can describe it for you is, like, if you took, like, the aspect of, like, D&D in terms of, like, stats and getting, like, new abilities and stuff, and combined that with, like, an open world, like a semi-open world Star Wars game.
It's actually built on the Baldur's Gate.
That's probably a better way to describe it. Star Wars Baldur's Gate is probably a really good way to describe it.
Right.
But it's you can find it on Steam, I think maybe like 10-15 bucks. There is a second one. It's not the it's not bad.
It's just not as good. You're the first one's going to set your expectations really
high. They tried to, like, change too many things with the second one, and it kind of destroyed it a little bit.
Somebody is going to go do a little Steam search here while we talk.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a gaming computer, it's also on your phone, which is not the ideal way to play, but you could
still throw it out there. You could still kind of, like, mess around with it a little bit. But so obviously the games for me did a lot of stuff for me growing up. Star Wars Battlefront was one of the main ones for me.
I forgot Battlefront when I was discussing it.
Like, I rebought it because you can rebuy Battlefront, just the multiplayer, for $10 on Steam, and you can just Yeah. So you can rebuy just the multiplayer of
I got my gaming rig now, Mark. We're going to be getting up all of these.
Well, we should see if we can set up a private server and play.
We really should, and just start playing old school Battlefront 2. Sam, we'll teach you what Battlefront is. It's fine.
Oh, thank you so much.
Are you trying to mansplain Star Wars right now?
Clueless woman. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. But we
see,
could get
with your booster gold comics.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Mark, you suck.
Yeah, I know.
But no, if everyone gets it, I would love to just sit there and play Battlefront 2. Last time I checked, it was about $9.99 on Steam or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
But that game for me was huge until I tried playing it online. That was like back when you could hack your Xbox really easy and like just make yourself a god at every single online game. I definitely remember playing Rogue Squadrons on the N64. What was the first Pod Racer one? Was it just
Pod Racer?
Yeah, Pod Racer.
Yeah,
never playing that one a lot. I've gotten into a few other ones.
That was that
too.
Good.
Yeah, but that game was.
While we're talking about Episode One Racer, does anyone remember, like, you could play the game on your N64, but does anyone remember going to the arcade where they actually had the pods you could sit in?
Yeah.
I just remember thinking that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's still has a like a Star Wars immersive game where you like are
X-Wing fighter and like
the battle pod. Yeah.
All right. Hold up. KOTOR on Steam right now, 65% off from $10 to $3.50 up until May 6th.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Hashtag sponsor us.
Steam sponsor us.
Hashtag Steam sponsor us. I mean, I didn't think about that, but then that does make a lot of sense why, like, May 4th, that all the Star Wars games would be on sale.
Weird.
I wonder why they went that route with it. Not like I need any more Star Wars games, because I have a ton. I have the MMO because I did buy the MMO when it first came out, which is actually a very solid MMO.
Are you talking about the Old Republic?
Yeah. I play with Darren on occasion. Like, I have the Force Unleashed 1 and 2, both Knights of the Old Republic, Jedi Outcast, Fallen Order, Battlefront 2, and Empire at War, which was Star Wars' answer to the RTS franchise.
They need to branch out and give me a Star Wars life sim where I can just be like Stardew Valley, where I can be a moisture farmer.
Wait, I love that.
So,
give it to me right now.
No, but so, it needs to
be. Do you guys remember the old Star Wars
Tatooine.
Galaxies game?
I have a funny story about that one. I was a kid. I can't remember when Galaxies came out, but it was probably only 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
So I was only 12 or 13. And I didn't understand that it had a subscription when I bought it. And so I got this game and I'm super excited. I get home and it's like, you got to get a subscription. And at the time, they didn't really have those gift cards you can get now where it's just here's 3 free months. So I was trying to convince my mom to put her credit card on it. She's like, no, I'm not doing that.
You're like, but wait, this will be fun for
so
me.
So I got the game and I never played it.
Yeah, but
here's the fun thing. Those servers are still active to this day, even though they discontinued the game. My buddy got me a patch for it, downloaded it on my old laptop that I got to transfer over, and the servers are active.
I'd have to go back and see if I saw this somewhere.
There's so much. There really is, but it's just great stuff. It really is. I'll try to see. We'll see if it's fixed up. Robert, can you hear me? Do you think we have this audio working? No? All right. It's crazy. I remember when I first tried booting up the Battlefront 2, when I had bought the multiplayer and tried booting it up. It was crazy because it's a little glitchy because it's privately run servers it can be hit or miss, but just the greatest nostalgia factor, and then immediately going 2 and 12 and being like, oh right, this game was legitimately more difficult than I remember. But I don't know, the games now are getting good. I mean, like you guys, like Mark, you mentioned you play Rogue Squadron. I haven't beaten it yet, but like Fallen Order is.
Oh, great. No, Squadrons. I was like, Rogue
Squadron.
Fallen Order is my like favorite thing.
Currently. Yeah. I still got to beat it, but it's amazing.
I have to get it. That's been on my.
It's so good.
I watched all like 35 episodes this YouTuber did of it, and it's so like lore rich in the game.
It really is.
Impeccable.
Yeah, and what to me what makes the game so good, and what I'll give the game developers a lot of credit, and I hate saying EA, I'm going to give you credit for anything.
Ooh, that's nice.
You just lost every follower you had.
Just massively.
How did you get into negative followers? That's impressive.
I don't know. I don't even know. Like, how do you go from zero to negative 30? Like, how are you banned from Apple followers. Podcasts? Yeah, you owe us money. What? So the one area I will give EA credit for the game is, one, actually sticking to their promise of not doing microtransactions. And two, making the game to where like you had to go back to explore the worlds that you already were at. So like I'm like maybe only like 15% through the game, and like from what I remember, like I just got a power that I can now go back to the first ever planet I was at to unlock like two hidden aspects of lore that I couldn't get to before. It's a great game. Like it really is a great game. And then the only other area of Star Wars that I've really have gotten into is the comics. Again, primarily the dark side stuff, but Marvel's been crushing it with their recent reruns of like the current Darth Vader run that's going on right now is amazing, because they actually they delve into like when he's at the height of Darth Vader and he's considering betraying Palpatine. It goes into the run of like, where was he when he disappeared for all these moments? Like, if you're watching the movies or you know the lore, and there's all these moments of like Darth Vader kept disappearing for like months at a time. The most recent run of the Darth Vader comic goes into the fact that like he wanted to figure out if Padme was still alive somehow, because he had never really seen a body. So he like goes back to her like old Senate chambers and like finds her. If you remember from the movies, her stunt double, essentially, who pretended to be the queen. Mm-hmm. In the most recent run, when he goes back to her her original like Senate floor chamber or whatever, he finds her there. And like they go off on an adventure together. And it's the weirdest thing reading about it, because it's Darth Vader with someone that's obviously heavily influenced in the movies as Padme's stunt double to prevent her from like being assassinated or whatever. But I mean so that runs currently is amazing. The Darth Maul like 8-issue miniseries from about 2 years ago, amazing. And the books too. I've gotten really into reading the Star Wars books. I don't know if anyone here has tried reading some of these interesting books before.
I can't read.
Well, I knew to read, not to read.
I knew that. Okay, so yeah. Books are things with like. Letters on them.
That's stupid. I don't like it.
You're getting a lot of extra work here. I'm not into.
Does it have the moving pictures?
If you flip the pages,
stupid.
Really quickly,
that's a lot of effort.
Yeah, if you like, if you draw on each page and then maybe flip through it,
flipbook or nothing, fam. That's how
maybe,
we do it.
Maybe you can make a little flipbook.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead.
Sam, I was gonna say I haven't actually like read the books. It's very hard, actually. It's hard for me to read because I just don't have the time to sit down and read a book. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And so I've listened to a lot of the YouTubes that have talked about the books, and they seem like very interesting, a lot happening with them.
Yeah. I just got into, I'm blanking on the name. I'm blanking on the name of it. But it was essentially the premise is, when Darth Maul is taking orders from Palpatine, and book centers around that Palpatine sends him to a prison planet, like if you think Guardians of the Galaxy 1 ish. Same kind of idea of a prison planet, but of course the secret underbelly is that the prisoners will fight to get like extra perks. If you think like like, what was it, like Escape 3 or whatever, with Sylvester Stallone, that really bad movie. But it's a really great book where, because it goes into like Darth Maul, like realizing that Palpatine is keeping things hidden from him. So you start seeing Darth Maul like start doing these early things to try to like figure out how he can gain power outside of Palpatine. The book goes into like a lot of detail about it. I know there's a ton of Star Wars books, but I've really gotten into those. And did anyone ever check out like those they released like those bounty? It was like a bounty hunter guide, a Sith guide, and like a Jedi guide. I'm sorry. What was that, Robert? I heard you for a second, but it broke up.
Tale by, I think it's KWG. Here they were a softbound book. I think that there was something about the wars, and the only book I've read is Truce at Baccarat by Kathy Tyers, I believe, which was a 93 release. I bought the Dark Empire saga by Timothy Zahn, but I never sat down to read it.
Oh, okay. I haven't read those myself. The only one that I bought of the ones I was just talking about was the Sith one, obviously, for obvious reasons. But we're getting close to an hour, so I'm gonna wrap up in a little bit here. But before I do that, which I say that now, but then the last time I said that with you, Sam, we were like, we'll wrap up soon. 45 minutes later. Oh, right.
Oh, wait, I do have something that I was going to mention. I looked this up because I was thinking about it as we were talking about Knights of the Old Republic, and I was like, did I misremember that? But according to IGN, there is a remake of Knights of the Old Republic coming from the game developer Aspyr.
That's not the fan one that got shut down, right?
No, this is like an official... Aspyr, for those who don't know, they've done a lot of like porting the older Star Wars games to modern consoles like Switch and the 360 and... 360. Wow, I'm dating myself.
Yeah, I love it. There's some throwbacks.
Yeah, right. Sorry. The Xbox Series, I can't even, whatever the current system
is. Back on my Atari X Series Y.
Back on my Coleco.
I'm a PC gamer, so anyways. If they're remaking that game, I will be definitely picking that.
Oh, 1,000%. And I do know also, I could be wrong, but aren't they also doing a Star Wars RPG? Isn't that being rumored?
Like a tabletop RPG or
no? From what I read before, and I'm seeing another article here, it was like it's supposed to be like an actual RPG, like what you would think of as a role playing game, just set. In the Star Wars universe.
I'm seeing some rumors about it, but like, you know, as with anything, you got to wait to see, especially with the remake, because they could look at the old combat from KOTOR and be like, this is too slow, and decide to remake the whole thing.
Yeah. If you're wondering if you want to see some of the work that Aspyr has done before, if you're kind of curious about some of their remake work, but you want to see how it is from a Star Wars standpoint, you can look at the recent remake that was just done of Star Wars Republic Commando was done by them. So if you want something to compare it to, that's what they did. I'm trying to look up some stuff here again. Sorry, if you're listening to this, we're finding this out live. So we're trying to see what exactly was going on around about it.
You look that up and I'll share a fun story.
Live in Technicolor.
Is that... another picture I can have you throw up on the Fandom Effect page, Mark, is that I have a photo of you, me, and like a bunch of other people at the premiere of Rogue One. We got like eight of us all in a row seeing the movie.
Yeah.
But I realized, now that I think about it, that even though I wasn't born for the original trilogy, I have actually... gone back since then and seen like re-releases in theaters. So I have actually seen every Star Wars movie that came out theatrically in theaters.
I do remember seeing Rogue One, because Rogue One is probably Rogue One and Han Solo. I did like Han Solo. I saw Han Solo very late because I just assumed it was going to be terrible. So I avoided seeing it for the longest time. And was finally super pressured into seeing it.
Me and Kelly watched the Han Solo movie within this past year, because I was telling her, I was like, I haven't heard good things about this movie. This movie's gonna be bad. And then we watched it.
That's what I thought. Goes,
can you tell me what was bad? I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, I liked it when I saw it. I saw it right when it came out.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, see, I avoided seeing it for the same reason. I was like, it's going to be bad. It's not like it's good. I heard terrible things. Like, I just avoided seeing it for years. Then finally, I broke down when Disney Plus came out and was like, all right, fine. I'll see it. We'll see what it's about. And yeah, it was really good. But I did
the same thing you did, Mark.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I just assumed, which I mean, I don't know. I guess because it just seemed like it was going to be bad.
I feel like that's the thing, is a lot of people didn't really give it a chance because no one went and saw it. Like, that was the whole thing.
It did very bad in theaters.
And I think there were just a lot of people who just saw it and was just like, yeah, it looks like it sucks. And they just didn't give it a second thought. But like, I went and saw it and I was like, granted, my expectations were, I was really hoping they were going to follow up on the threads they laid down in that movie. But now that they're not doing any more like standalone movies, I'm not sure if any of those plot threads are going to get picked up in films.
I would probably say.
But like, I remember
the whole thing is just new.
Yeah, which is a shame because that's like one of the greatest side stories that Darth Maul has.
When they were going to do an Obi-Wan movie, I thought that was going to pick up like Obi-Wan kind of like getting another showdown with Darth Maul. And that still could happen in the, sorry for spoiling Solo. You had your chance to see it. You know, I'm kind of hoping in the Obi-Wan series that we do get to see that whole thing with Darth Maul kind of like get resolved and played out.
At least a little bit, because him being charged and being in charge of Black Sun and starting like that criminal empire is like just such a rich storyline, because you don't even have to go into the Force side of it, because eventually he like betrays, and there's a whole thing about it. Like, but Solo is what's being talked
about. We are talking about Solo.
We are talking about Solo right now. So I mean, I think 8 with you, Mark, was the last, because I didn't see 9 in theaters because I still haven't seen 9. I refuse to.
Don't.
What?
I kind of feel like you just should get it off,
but don't.
Just yeah, rip it, but yeah, but don't.
Like, I love you, but I hate you, but just don't. Okay. Yeah.
No, yeah. You have to.
If we'll see if you and Kelly can convince.
Don't tempt us.
Next time you come into town, like, we'll get together, we'll get some drinks, and we'll watch it.
Just get super drunk and start swearing at.
No, we're gonna Mystery Science Theater.
No, because then you'll probably think it's the greatest movie ever made if you're hammered.
That's not a bad thing. At least it's better than watching it and hating it.
I don't think I could.
True. I retract.
Well, yeah, fair point.
Yep.
Movie party time.
Movie party time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, is that a party with Kelly though, or is that just?
Yeah, it's a party with Kelly.
That might make me hate the movie more though. So maybe we should bring her.
Hmm.
I'm like, so, you know what I mean? Like, cause you know, like, if But 8 was the last one I saw in theaters. Samuel Renek. Okay, there you go. There, that it's decided. The only way I will see Star Wars 9 is if in Sam and Kelly, Mark will grab same thing. We'll grab beers.
Yeah.
Dave will video you in.
Perfect.
And we'll just sit there.
We'll watch drink the Swedish version.
Yeah, and Sam and Kelly will reenact the entire Star Wars 9 movie in cosplay.
Well, I was gonna say it's a good thing I already have a Poe Dameron and a Kylo Ren outfit.
Yeah, you guys can figure this out. I'll wait for the costume changes, but you guys can figure that out. That's the only way I'm gonna see this movie now. It's decided.
Don't tempt me.
It's decided. It's the only way it's gonna happen.
Kelly, I'll get in contact with you for starting rehearsals.
Yeah, you guys got like a month.
We can't be talking about this. Like, Disney's gonna see this and shut it down.
they're like, no. Yeah, you're done.
Mark just gets a knock on the door right now. Oh, I hear you talking about Star Wars.
I hear you talking shit. The mouse knows all.
Oh man.
Month. Get your shit together.
So I have a question regarding Star Wars in general. So, like, you know, we know things that are coming out. We know, like, that there's going to be a Rogue Squadron movie. We know there's going to be a Boba Fett series. You know, we're getting our Knights of the Old Republic remake is going to be a thing. So, like,
yeah,
if you could right now, like, you know, Disney gives you the go-ahead to greenlight like one Star Wars related project, like a movie. It could be a movie about a specific like plot line, a TV show about a specific character, or like a game or whatever. Like, what would your dream like thing be for them to make?
Okay, I'll go last. My answer is obvious. Sam, go.
I don't know if I have anything like specific.
All right, Jar Jar it is. Dave.
Dark Jar Jar.
Jar Jar is Darth, the only thing I'll ever need in my life.
Darth Jar Jar.
No, like anything like old, like super old, like way back when, like what Mark is going to say, like Revan, like maybe pre that, like anything that just isn't, I don't know, I'm blanking on words. Nothing like, that's like what we have in the current like Star Wars timeline. Nothing like right
mainstream.
Yeah, the Knights of Ren that we never got to freaking see in the.
Tell me about it.
Wait, I heard that was a major part in the ninth movie. Right?
Oh yeah. That, they take up like 70% of the.
Wasn't
movie.
That a major thing? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And nobody like goes from evil to good to evil to good, right? None of that happens. Mm-hmm.
No, but that's pretty much what I would. Something like so far back.
Well, like I think Mark's gonna say, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think you're gonna say you want like a Knights of the Old Republic movie or series, like a Revan movie or series.
I knew well, you would say the word Revan, like
yeah. Well, okay. I mean, obviously, like Revan's my favorite character. I would beyond flip to see like a Revan movie or whatever. But since that's like my obvious answer, and I've already talked about that enough, and I want people to know more about the lore stuff besides just like how much I love Revan.
Wait, just to be clear, you love Revan?
I love Revan. Yeah,
you know who Revan is? I love
Revan. I love both his light and dark side.
Name six Revans. If you're
that's
such
how
a
much Revan. that's how much I love him. What I would so it is besides that, so I'll give a different answer because Revan's the obvious one that I would want. What I would like to see a movie based on, and I don't know how you would do it. You might have to do like a mini series aspect of it because I don't know how a movie would work. But when Darth Bane reinstitutes the rule of two,
that'd be a good one.
So if you're listening to this, and you don't know what I'm talking about. You can go back and read the trilogy of Darth Bane books, which are amazing, amazing books. And it goes into more of the detail, but the gist of it is before Darth Bane, the Sith were doing essentially what the Jedi were doing. Like if you play the KOTOR games, like there was a Sith Academy, there was like Sith acolytes, like the Sith were just like weaker people who like the Jedi didn't want because maybe their force wasn't strong enough for people that turned to the dark side. Like it wasn't just like crazy powerful Jedi that turned to the dark side. It was like everybody and the Sith were getting their asses handed to them because the Jedi were more disciplined, had more training, and the Sith were just taking anybody that had, you know, like, hey, I shoot romp rats out of my T-16. You're in. Just throwing somebody under the bus.
You shoot small animals for fun?
What kind of psychopath are you?
Sold.
I think the phrasing they used was like the Sith was getting like muddled.
Yeah, it was like just regular, like your run of the mill. Like me and Mark could have like walked up and been like, "Hey, we heard you guys like give out red lightsabers instead of those blue ones.
Stupid yeah. Purple.
Can we get those red ones? Sure. Are you willing to kill innocent civilians? Yeah, sure. I guess. I don't want to like do anything though, but like if you know. Make me, I guess I'll try. And it's like, all right, here's a lightsaber. And that's what happened to the Sith. So then Darth Bane essentially just murders everyone and reinstitutes the rule of two, which then leads to Palpatine and Vader. And like, so all the premise of the rule of two that you keep hearing about in all the original movies is because of Darth Bane.
Rule of two, meaning there's always a master. And a
apprentice. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that could be like a real, even if you didn't do a movie, that could be like an amazing miniseries just to like, talk about Darth Bane reinstituting the rule of two, because I mean there's a lot of cool stuff that you could do even from I think also like a gray Jedi movie could be really cool. Interesting.
Yeah,
I would love to see a movie showing sort of like the formation of the original Jedi Order and like how that whole thing started, because you could make that kind of movie set so far in the past that what we think of as this futuristic technology that we associate with Star Wars could look like something completely different if you go that far back in the past.
Yeah. I grant you the rank of panelist, but I do not give you the right to talk.
How can you be on this stream but not be a-
I shall be returning.
All right. But yeah, with I think a movie or TV series kind of showing the formation of the Jedi and then maybe even leading into the formation of the Sith. And I haven't admittedly read a lot of the Disney Extended Universe, so I'm not sure if that's even been covered in the books or what the timetable is.
The book, some of the books in early Legend comics.
Good night, my little Padawan.
Go into it.
Sorry.
All good. But yeah, I'd like to, I'd love to see a show that kind of covers that, like how the Jedi Order became what it, you know, how it started out and like what it was designed to look like versus seeing how it is like in the movies that we've already seen.
Yeah.
Kind of like, sorry, real quick, just kind of like when you look at something that was created hundreds of years ago and see how it changes and sometimes gets twisted and warped over all that time. Yeah, it would be really interesting to see that.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I think too, you could do a very cool, like to your point, Mark, like, cause the comic, like I said, it goes into it. Like, how did Korriban get to the way that it was, you know, like they go into the history of like, how did a normal planet at one time get so corrupt and, you know, like imbued with the dark side and like, cause there's a lot of stuff they never go into because everything was so focused on Skywalker and the light side.
I am so sick of hearing about the Skywalker.
Yeah. They like, none
wait,
of
those Skywalker.
Yeah. You know, some douchebag.
You don't even want to know.
Yeah, it's just some douche. Whatever. Yeah, it's just some guy that drinks green stuff and like, you know, like
nerd
tries to kill people in their sleep because they had a bad dream this one time. And
god damn.
Yeah, just really awkward stuff. Something with sand.
Really, like, not a cash money time.
Sand's a big part of it. There's like robots.
Of course it is. Yeah.
There's like robots and stuff. And but like the Sith have really cool stuff that like would be. To Mark's point, like, would be great to just see something about, like the Sith have their own holocrons that are, like, really insanely, like, crazy, where, like, it's one of the more runs, but, like, Sith artifacts are imbued with dark power, so, like, when someone uses them, they try to kill the wielder and, like, take over their body.
Hang on, I gotta make some notes for D&D, hold on.
Mask that kills party member.
Yes.
But if you not in the most recent Darth Vader one, the one from a year and a half ago, there's a really amazing few issues where Darth Vader finds the mask of a previous Darth Lord, Darth Nihilus, who was known to be able to reverse life and go back in time. So Darth Vader's trying to find the mask so he can get the power and go back in time and stop himself from essentially turning to the dark side and save Padme. And the mask has the power. The Sith has this power where he could do it, but because it's a Sith, instead of trying to help Darth Vader at the last moment, he tries to take over his body. Darth Vader's too strong, you know, destroys the mask, blah, blah, blah. But to Mark's point, there's a lot of history built into the Star Wars universe that because they were so obsessed with Skywalker that we just never get to hear about. Even just from a standpoint of like how exactly like what happens in the outworld, like how does Jabba the Hutt come into power? Like, that's why I'm hoping the Boba Fett series dives into a little bit of like Jabba the Hutt and like how the Hutts rose to power, like the way that they did. But we'll see. So again, I said, you know, we'll wrap up soon. That was about 20 minutes ago.
Which is what I anticipated
happening. So does anybody have like anything when it comes to Star Wars that you do want to, like, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, you know, maybe they're just like a casual Star Wars fan, or maybe like they really haven't gone into Star Wars yet, but then like because of tomorrow being Star Wars Day and kind of it being that time of year, but to potentially get started, where would you guys say, like, hey, this is how you could get started? This is how you could, like, what would be your personal recommendations for kind of finding something in Star Wars?
Which one I want to do is go to Disney Plus.
Damn it, New Hope. I was going to say, buy a subscription.
Plus. Yep. Go to Disney Plus.
Click on the Star Wars collection. Press play.
And just
go to A New Hope. Hit start. Yeah.
And then just
go Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And then Return of the Jedi. And then start you can stop.
Nine. Work your way down.
Actually, quick questions. I know. Sorry to keep dragging this out even longer, Mark.
No, you're good.
Are you guys familiar with the concept of machete order?
Oh, I've heard of it, but I can't offhand remember.
I may not know by that name.
Yeah.
The idea being that when you're showing someone Star Wars for the first time, there's chronological order, episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But a lot of the stuff that you see in 1, 2, and 3 are supposed to be sort of like fan service to you, and you won't appreciate them much if you watch them, don't watch 4, 5, and 6 before that. But then you argue that, like, some things in 6 kind of play out better if you've watched the prequels first. So what this guy came up with was what he called machete order. And he says that you should watch, if you're going to show Star Wars to someone new, you should watch episode 4, episode 5, episode 2, episode 3, and then episode 6. And you skip one altogether. And the reason being is one doesn't really do anything that isn't covered by 2 and 3. And then 2 and 3 lets you kind of see the journey of how, after you find out that Darth Vader is Luke's father, then you can go back and see how he became Vader and then finally see the conclusion to both their stories.
Interesting. I
have not heard of that before. No. That does.
I'd heard of machete order, but I've never tried watching in that order. But I guess it's because I've watched all of them now a couple times, so it's like
not all of them. Don't you watch?
Whatever. I'm not counting the crap that's going to be 9. Dude, and the Sam
Raimi. I hate to tell you this, but this is depressing to say that you watched the holiday special before you saw episode 9.
I did. Yeah. I've seen the holiday special like 2 or 3 times.
You're killing me.
Wow.
Well, because I had to watch it because I watched it like when I was getting into Star Wars. And then I had to watch it again when we interviewed the writer from that movie because I was like, I hadn't seen it in so long.
I had to. I have a semi-new respect for you, Mark. Just a semi-slight.
Still won't watch 9 unless Sam and Kelly interact it flawlessly. But if with one little mistake, right? Because I'm gonna print out a script like line by line. If I see a single mistake, and if I see one mistake, we're canceling the whole thing. The whole thing's done. It's mute. There's no point.
But machete order. It's hard for us to say because we've all seen the movies, you know. And as far as I know, all of us have seen them like in order that they came out.
Pretty much. Yeah, Mark.
I mean, he technically hasn't broken the order.
I have not. I just stopped it.
Just hasn't watched. He just stopped it.
I just stopped it.
But I'm curious if anyone listening has ever like tried machete order, either like on their own watching it or like showing it to a friend and let us know how it worked out. Because I do have some people I'd like to show Star Wars to, and I'm wondering if machete order might be a good way to do it.
Yeah, I'd be interested. So I will say, if you listen to this, you can comment in quickly now before we end it, or you can feel free to message me at Facebook or Twitter at Phantom Effect, or, you know, hell, leave a review on Apple with 5 stars, of course, and then answer.
And then please like, comment, and subscribe.
And then please like, comment, and subscribe.
You leave a 5-star review, we'll live record our answers.
Yeah, yes, and then the review can just be the answer to, yes, I watched Machete Order.
And then go on the Discord and follow all the channels on that.
We filmed the reenactment of episode 9. How about we do that?
We could do that.
In all seriousness, we could totally do like a Zoom read of Star Wars.
We really could.
Of A New Hope. Because I would love to do that.
That would be interesting. Obviously, we'd have to do only like a part of it, though.
No,
we go all in or nothing.
The whole thing.
With parody, you can do it.
That's this true. Really with parody, you can't. Yeah, with parody, you are allowed to do it. As long as you say it's a parody, then it is allowed. Then it is allowed.
I'll get Kelly. It's going to be just great.
Just speaking a Scottish accent the entire time.
Yeah, just the entire time.
Everybody pick different accents.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to do like a Russian C-3PO.
Do you want to Here, I'm gonna look up a C-3PO line, like a famous one, right?
No, I don't think he likes you at all.
I want a good one though, like a longer one.
Sorry,
you
Mark,
have
that
to...
was a good one.
Yeah, that wasn't good enough. No. I want a longer one. All right. Okay, this is from A New Hope.
Okay.
Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease.
Don't call me a mindless philosopher.
That's not Russian.
Don't call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight ball of grease.
There it is.
All right. We'll take that.
You know what? You can do Russian if you don't like it.
No, thank you.
All right. How many people would you need? Well, we could do with like
C-3PO. Someone has to do R2-D2.
You could do both. You could do C-3. You could have the same person do C-3PO and R2-D2. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, like,
and then I'm trying to think if there's anyone else. I mean, even though it wouldn't be like my main part, I'd love to voice Porkins.
I was typing that.
Do
your honeymoon, Devin.
Yeah,
go
to your honeymoon, man. Like, your wife is waiting
for you.
You're
not wanted here, clearly.
Well, that has to be him because I didn't type it.
Oh, we need Vader.
Well, I'll do Vader.
He's already planning on having that.
Yeah,
I'm already going to be cosplaying. I might as well just, you know.
Have you guys ever seen the Emerald City Comic Con thing where they got all the really famous voice actors to read through the Star Wars script as their characters?
I thought I remember seeing something like this.
So they got, you can find the panel on YouTube, but they got John DiMaggio, who does Bender on Futurama, and he did, he jumped around different scenes, but he did do Bender. In one scene, they had Tara Strong, who's from she's done all kinds of voices, but she did My Little Pony, and so she did one of her My Little Pony voices as Darth Vader.
No.
Yeah,
it's so funny. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That's amazing.
I'm going to be thinking, that's what I'm going to dream about tonight. It's just Darth Vader talking in a My Little Pony voice.
Mark, you're saying such kind things.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that my hands are up here. If you're listening to this,
your hands are up there. What are you typing?
Yeah, if you're listening to this tomorrow or down the road, and this is being recorded live, and apparently I'm typing things, even though it's really weird. It's crazy.
So you have mastered the penis typing. I'm proud of you, Mark.
I don't have a tripod for nothing.
Touche, sir. Touche.
SAM dies inside.
I've been dead inside.
Yeah, but that's just that's like a life thing. That's not a, you know,
a
that's
life
not
day
a,
thing.
Yeah, that's just a life day thing.
It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, Dave, I'll jump to you for two things. So one, what would you tell us to like the casual person to jump in for Star Wars, and also plug your show?
You have a show.
You are a beautiful human being. I knew I loved you for a reason.
It's true.
There's only one way to go with Star Wars, and it's not machete order. It's 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then skip 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
That's all you do.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. And then you throw in Rogue One because that's a fantastic film.
It is. It is.
That's one of my favorites. And then you throw in Solo. And then you just forget 7. They never existed. Never existed.
You just move on.
Just move on. And I will gladly, gladly, shamelessly plug my podcast.
Oh, look at that. We got to go.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Time.
Not on time. Cut the music.
Mark was on. So if you want to listen to that train wreck, make sure you check out the Fearless Fathers podcast anywhere that you find podcasts. Podbean, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. YouTube's now. Amazonia.
YouTube's?
The Pandoras.
Pandora's.
Everywhere.
Is that where the blue people are?
Yeah, but like just go back and play my episode and then
just play then Mark's episode
and then ignore
absolute
it
glory
and move on with your life.
Get me those numbers. Get me the numbers.
What number is that so I know when to skip it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the only you just play it on loop actually.
Yeah,
that's why
I actually have it on a 24-hour loop stream.
Yeah, I do too. It's what helps me sleep.
As you should. Yeah.
I just put I have clips of me like just my audio of every podcast I've ever done, and I just play it on a loop when I go to sleep. So the order makes no sense.
So
and
yeah,
it's just me. And it's just me talking, but it's just the sound, you know, like just
it's like deafening.
Listen, you just love the sound of your own voice that much. You're just like, I'm a fucking genius.
I am so talented.
Devin Lee.
That was a great joke.
I actually fell asleep when we were interviewing.
You're just like, I'm a genius. Devin Lee. I want to be alone with myself.
I want to be alone with my own words. That was a great fucking question, Mark.
Well, you guys know
that, of course, I'll throw all the links to the Fearless Fathers podcast when I'm doing this a little bit later. This episode will be debuting tomorrow morning. That's why this is being recorded live today, because I just literally this will be recorded with no edits, except for like one quick minor edit in the beginning. But like other than that, it's going to be an unedited episode because I wanted to do this like just a plan. Like, what would it be like? Just let's talk Star Wars. No script. Let's just see where the conversation takes us, because there is so much to talk about when it comes to Star Wars. I didn't want to be like, let's just talk about the movies, and then it's an hour on the movies, and people who are casual fans or getting into new fandoms are just going to be like, all right, well, okay.
We know enough about that.
Well, now we got to record tomorrow for Revenge of the Fifth.
Yeah. I'm free tomorrow evening.
Yeah, we'll be live tomorrow.
This is the May.
As well. Yeah.
This is the May.
I said that earlier.
It's just we do an episode every day.
Yeah, and then we have to do one on we'll be live every day for quick minutes, and you know, we'll get down to the point where the 31st is just us talking about how Jar Jar is the greatest Star Wars character in the history of the franchise.
I think you are right there, Mark.
We'll come up with our own Darth Jar Jar script, and we'll act it out.
We'll act it out live.
By the end of the month, me and Kelly will be reenacting episode 9.
Yeah, live.
I am serious, though, about what I said, because I would love to do like just a read of A New Hope. Like, it just would, in ridiculous voices.
I'm not going to lie. It would be very, like, one, that would be, I would love to do that. And then two, if like, again, we can plan it out in the future, but as a end of the May month episode live on the 31st, as like a closeout to Star Wars month, to do a live read of A New Hope, with some silly voices.
I would be so into that.
I have no life. I'm all for it.
I don't think any of us do. So. No.
We're here.
Let's just say I'll look into getting one or two people, but I can commit to it now. Live recording 31st. If you're listening to this now, we're going to do a live.
There's no practicing ahead of time. We're going to read
it blind. So we'll find the script online. Everyone, you just pull up the script, and we're going to do a live.
No rehearsing. Yeah. No, none of that.
And you know what I'm even going to do to make this more interesting? I'm going to get like a spinning wheel. I'm going to put like every normal, like every reasonable accent that somebody could do. Like, we'll keep it reasonable. And right before we go, right as we're going live on the 31st, right as we are about to do it, I'm going to spin the wheel for all of us. And the accent that it lands on is the one that you have to do.
You should include a couple like that aren't accents per se, but like just different ways of speaking, like Elmer Fudd, for example.
Oh, okay. Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Like you smoke 2 packs a day.
Yeah, darling. All right.
Or do like, if anyone ever saw the old SNL Star Wars auditions where they had Christopher Walken doing Han Solo, and he's like, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me that you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yeah, I said amazing things about you, Devin. I'll go enjoy your honeymoon.
Get out. I'm
go away.
Go away. Mark just wants to hear the sound of his own voice.
All right.
Insert bad name to you, guy. I don't know.
I need routines to get myself to sleep tonight. All right. But I am 100% down. We can do that on the 31st. So everyone that's on this call, keep your calendars clear on the 31st. Oh, and it's been cleared. I'll find us a. I would like to point out that
I think the 31st is Memorial Day.
What, you have plans now?
I might. I legit don't know.
Lame holiday.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be busy not working that day. So
yeah, and now doing this. Yeah. So there you go.
So you should be free.
There's your plan. Because you would still work on Tuesday, correct?
I would.
Yeah. So
well, I mean, I'll have to go into work. Whether or not I actually do any work is a different matter.
Yeah. So I don't see any reason why Monday night. Then, like, what's the issue here? Yeah, that's right. This is your idea.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't back out. It is live. We've got this recorded.
All right. I'm cool. I'm down with this. And when you get the wheel mark and put the
I know obviously the. I know what website it is, and I'll just put in a bunch of them, and then like we'll spin it right before we go live. We would need maybe how many people realistically would you think we'll need?
Six at least for the main characters. You need six or seven because you need
because we can Vader, all because we can do
Vader, Han, Luke, Leia, Tarkin,
right?
3PO
and 3PO.
Yeah, 3PO. Yeah,
R2 can just be sound effects, and so then maybe someone to read the stage directions.
So realistically, six or seven. And then I'll say that when a random character comes up, I'm going to have a wheel of our names. And I'll spin
and just that someone wheel. Else has to read it.
Yep. And I'll spin that wheel. And then I'll spin both wheels, the accent wheel and the character wheel. So when a random character pops up.
Oh, I'm the Obi-Wan too. Drunk for this.
Yeah. Turns into you talking to yourself.
Yeah. What no one knows because I'm not going
to
show the wheel.
You don't need to see his identification. Yeah. We don't need to see his identification.
He's not the droids you're looking for.
What you guys don't know is that like both wheels are just my name. Like
that's not fair. It's like, wow, Mark again.
Wow, what are the odds? Guys, I'm really sorry. I'm sure the next one you guys will totally get
it. It's just going to be us watching you do it.
The entire thing.
But join us for the Fandom Effects one man show of Star Wars.
And it's three audience.
Oh my god. If we actually do this, I know I said I'd do 3PO, but I would love to do the stage directions in the voice of like a 50s radio announcer. Meanwhile, at the Mos Eisley Cantina.
That would be pretty good.
Okay.
All right, so it's decided May 31st. If Devin, you know, can pretend that he gives a shit about this podcast by then,
doubt it.
Maybe Devin can actually like make an appearance for the first time in a week, and you know do
it's
something
just
with
inconsiderate.
Yeah, really, it really is at this point. But you know, we'll get there. I'm pretty sure it'll be very easy to find three other people or two other people to join us for a.
Jay Volpix is in the chat, so if you
could, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll make Jay Volpix do it.
I'll guilt my business partner into doing it too. There we go. Problem solved.
Yeah, we're all right. It.
Yeah, look at this. We got this. All right.
Too easy.
So,
too easy.
May 31st, Monday, and I'll do my final plugs here where you can watch this at. So if you're interested and you like this, obviously, if you made it to the end, and obviously, if you've made it an hour and a half in, I would assume that you've enjoyed the last hour and a half, in which case I don't know what you're doing, but go ahead and make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. It does help out. Make sure you leave a review. If you do leave a review, we will read it live, whether it's good or bad, because honestly, I don't give a shit if you don't like this. So go ahead and leave a bad review. No, I'm just kidding. But leave a review.
But leave it addressed to Devin.
Yeah, addressed to Devin. Yeah, make sure you say that the thing you didn't like was Devin.
Devin was the problem.
Yeah, make sure you clearly specify that. And we'll be good. But I'll do a quick little month because this was coming out, on May the 4th. If you're listening to this, welcome. It's our first bonus episode of the month. Give you guys a quick teaser for what's going to happen this month. Obviously, as you just heard, we will try to make sure that this does actually legitimately happen on May 31st live. And we'll debut it. We'll debut with that Friday for our first episode to kick off the bonus for June. So we can do that. This month, we got some pretty cool stuff coming. This will obviously be our first bonus episode. We have a couple cool interviews that are going to air this month with a couple people who are former Mr. Universe and a couple other interviews that we've done in the past, as well as my plan for the second bonus episode, as I finally want to go ahead and have a sit-down discussion about why Ash is the worst Pokemon trainer of all time in massive detail. So I plan on hopefully that being the second bonus episode. But if you do want to hear this episode or past ones or whatever it might be, like I mentioned earlier, Facebook and Twitter, very simple at Fandom Effect. Pick a podcasting platform. We are on there. Just go ahead and Google the Fandom Effect. We will be there. You can listen to us live. If you do want to support the show in any way, you can do it in a couple different ways. You can go to my Twitch, twitch.tv/BushidoGeek. Give me a follow. You can donate through there. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/fandompodcast. Or you can subscribe to our Patreon. Those links are all scrolling at the bottom below. You can go to our Patreon/Phantom Effect Podcast. We have a couple different tiers. We are constantly adding more to it. Different tiers get you different things. If you do subscribe to our top tier, once a month, you can either join in on a D&D one shot where I will be your dungeon master, or you can just join for periodic gaming sessions. But all the money does towards help supporting the show in different ways. So it would definitely mean a lot. We can catch this show repeating on the Scene Snobs Network every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch our shows on there as well. But if you just really want to hear my voice, you can also listen to myself on a live show that I do every Saturday called Nerdtainment Tonight, which airs exclusively on the Scene Snobs Network, as well as my Twitch, where I just kind of go over weekly news that's happened in the industry. So you can do various different things like that. That's going to do it for me on this edition of the Phantom Effect. Does anyone have any final words they want to throw out there?
Follow me.
Oh, hey, I didn't see
Sam the Man cosplay anywhere to see every Star Wars cosplay I'll ever do.
Kelly, I will send you my 48-hour mixtape of just my voice.
Oh, mixtape?
Yes. Yeah, I went old school with it.
It's just him doing like spoken word poetry like William Shatner.
Jar Jar Binks is the best of all time.
Hang on. She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour. I don't have any stuff to follow, but I'm frequent guest here on the Phantom Effect. I'm in like episode 3 or something where I was interviewed. So just follow this guy's pod. This guy's podcast. And thanks for tuning in to hear our Star Wars ramblings.
Yeah. Thanks to our esteemed guests, a panelist, and then Mark. But everyone here is better than Devin. So
that's true because we're actually here.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. We actually contribute to things.
I'll be waiting for my new podcast host contract in the mail.
Yeah, I'll send that over. Yeah, it's the same.
Mail.
Yeah, I'll actually.
Oh. I can sign it. I guess that contract just arrived from the 1990s.
I'll send it in a pneumatic tube.
Let me send you a telegram.
Or I guess I could send it. I guess I could send it by land speeder.
Ooh, I have a kid's land speeder right in the other side of my basement. We could do this.
See, there we go.
Problem solved.
We got. See, now Devin, and I'll have Devin deliver it to you, but I won't tell him what it's for. Just so when he gets there, he's just
Make sure you bring him to Pennsylvania so he could just ride it the 3.5 miles an hour.
That's true, yeah.
All the way through.
He also gave me this shovel and told me to start digging in the backyard.
do you know why? Is Sam just holding like a pitchfork? No idea why. Just start digging.
Just start going.
Everything will be fine. So tune in next week to hear the Dateline episode about podcast host murdered on Star Wars Day on Unsolved Mysteries. But that's gonna do it for me. Like I said, to close out, if you are curious about Star Wars, you can go back, Google a lot of things that we talked about. But honestly, probably the best way to honestly start is as simple as Mark said. Honestly, if you have Disney Plus, start watching some of the old movies and some of the different shows, or pick up some of the comics and read it. I mean, like they do very good stuff. So it really, there's so many different ways to start that honestly just pick one that you think appeals to you the most that you think might be easier for you to go with and just go with it. And just remember, like we said, just follow us on different stuff. New episodes every Friday, bonus episodes every other Tuesday. Very simple. Everything's always bright and early. Just remember that when one fandom rises to join it, three more will rise to join it when you find one fandom. Yes, I stole that from Greek mythology and from Marvel, but it's mine now. Exclusively mine. Yeah, trademarked, LLC.
Put it on a shirt. It's done. Forget it.
Put it on a shirt. Speaking of which, I will close out with this. when Devin does get back from his honeymoon, jokes aside, our merch store will, we're finally going to get it up and running. So Phantom Effect merch / exclusive Bushido Geek Side merch is coming.
I want
So just stay tuned for that the next couple of weeks. When I do have the official store up and running, we will, of course, will make an announcement. We'll go
will
live.
Will
we'll
sign about it.
Can I have mine signed?
$10.
Can I not have mine signed and just get like pictures?
You know what? I'll just settle for mine being signed by the person who starred in episode 3 of your podcast. Devin would sign it for free.
Yeah, but he's never on the show, so that's not worth anything.
That's,
you know,
true.
Exclusivity.
Yeah, but yeah, if for some reason, if you're listening to this and you want me to sign your merch and you buy something, just tell me and I will sign it before I put out. Yeah, there we go. There we go for a day. We'll spit.
Wait, if you're gonna spit for only $5, what would you do for 10?
And on that note,
next time on the fandom,
good night, everybody.
Music.
We'll see you guys.
Johnny.
Yeah, we'll see you guys on the very next edition of the Phantom Effect podcast or live on the Phantom Zone. Have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Live long and prosper.